Well, the series that we're going to be focusing on this month in January is called Habits. Well, it's actually not called Habits, I'm sorry. It's called Daily Reminders. Practices for spiritual growth. All right, so all of us probably have a smartphone or some sort of device, and you can set it to give you daily reminders, right, of things that are important to you, things that need to get done. And so that's why this is a great topic, because we need to be reminded of things that matter. And so today's focus of our daily reminder is on the concept of habits. Yes, habits, right? There's good ones and there's bad ones, right? We all desire to work on our good habits, but instead, sometimes we find ourselves sleeping in, oops, or checking our emails in bed, or having just one more snack, right? So how do we break bad habits, and how do we start forming new ones? Because the bottom line is, your habits create your reality. They create your daily life. Right? That's kind of tough. Here's some quotes, right? It says, the secret to success is hidden in your daily routine. So think about that right now. What does your daily routine look like? That is what's creating your future. Charles Duhigg, he wrote The Power of Habit. He says this, change might not be fast, and it isn't always easy, but with time and effort, almost any habit can be reshaped. Okay, that's good. Jim Ryan says, motivation is what gets you started. Habit is what keeps you going. And here's another great thought. If your habits don't change, you won't have a new year. You'll just have another year that's the same. All right? And so, again, there's a lot of choice. There's a lot of decision in creating habits or stopping bad habits. All right, so what is a habit? Habits always serve some biological, spiritual, or practical purpose, all right? So I'll give you an example. Brushing and flossing your teeth, right, have a lot of biological and practical benefits. A, better smelling breath, amen, okay? If you're coming up for prayer, you want to be, thank you, Jesus, that you brushed your teeth today, right? Healthier teeth, right? That's a big deal, because then you can have lower dental bills, right? So these things matter, all right? So what is a habit? A habit is formed when you consistently meet an important need with a chosen behavior. If you look it up in the dictionary, it's actually defined as a settled or regular tendency or practice, and especially sometimes one that's hard to give up, all right? And so we all have habits in our life. So as we talk through this today and look at scripture, I want you to be thinking about, what are your habits? What are the habits that are good? And what are the habits that aren't good? All right. So we're going to break it down a little bit. Here's an example of a bad habit. Biting your nails. Okay. That's a bad habit. All right. It's bacteria. It's not good. And you can get all kinds of issues on your fingers. Here's an example of a good habit. Complimenting your spouse. All right. So there's lots of opportunities to have good habits and bad habits. Habits are hard to break, though, because they fill an important need. Even the worst of habits are often responses to real needs in our lives. And if you dig deep enough to that habit, you'll often uncover an identity issue. Pastor Craig Groeschel, which he's the founder, basically, of YouVersion, so the app that we do all of our Bible reading, this is the pastor that founded that. He wrote in a book, he says this, an unhealthy identity creates unwise habits. So, and then unwise habits reinforce an unhealthy identity, all right? And so, again, that's why it's so important that our identity be based in Christ Jesus our Lord, right? Not in anything else in this world, but often we pull things in and we try to make them as our identifiers, right? So what can we do about these habits? Instead of diving into a list of do's, we should slow down a little bit and address the who's behind the habit. Maybe you haven't fully forgiven somebody. Maybe you've experienced long-term pain. Maybe you were mistreated or abused when you were younger. Maybe you were never just taught certain things, and so you've created habits to adjust. Whatever it is, there's a real identity battle that fuels real needs in your life. Remember, even the bad habit you want to replace is still rewarding you. It just might not be a good reward. But it's a reward nonetheless. Sorry, my mic is struggling. Because of this connection between identity, need, habit, and reward, breaking a bad habit requires more than just stopping the behavior. It involves addressing the identity issues as you replace them with good ones. So let's take a look at what the Bible says about habits. The Bible has a lot to say about our choices, about what we do daily. And so we're just going to kind of look at a few things. So here, what does the Bible say about habits? Well, first thing is isolation is a bad habit. Hebrews 10 makes it clear that neglecting to be part of a community of faith isn't just the absence of a habit, it's the presence of a bad habit. The Greek word used here for habit is the word ethos, which implies something that has become a custom, possibly even one prescribed by law. Good habits, like becoming part of a faith community, are healing and life-giving, all right? Versus bad habits of isolating ourselves when we're struggling, it only makes us sicker, all right? Hebrews 10, 24 and 25 says this in Scripture in NIV, "And let us consider how we spur one another on toward love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching." All right? The Bible talks about gathering together. Being together is a good habit. Why? Because we need one another. We need the encouragement. We need the prayer. We need the face-to-face. We need the arm on a shoulder. Pray for each other, right? We need that. And God knew that, all right? So many in our world, and then COVID didn't help, right? COVID made it just all the more difficult. People are isolated more than ever before in this world for all kinds of reasons. And I'll tell you, the enemy plays on isolation. He likes it when he can get people off on their own and in their own minds and then it's all crazy and there's things going on because it's just them, right? One zebra against a group of lions can't do much, but a group of zebras against some lions has a chance, right? And that's the thing. We need one another. Another thought is this: good daily habits, they actually come from God. Can you believe it? They were his idea. The very rhythm of God's creation in Genesis 1 and 2 is full of good, life-giving habits. For instance, God followed healthy patterns each day. If you go back to the story, God modeled the habits of excellence, persistence, and even asking for help. He asked Adam to name the animals, right? And Eve, too. He celebrated what had been accomplished. Each day, God saw the work that was good, and he said, "Oh, and this is good," right? And then he took one day a week to rest, to Sabbath. Boy, that's a pattern of good habits, right? It lays it down for us what we should be doing, how our lives should be patterned. So good habits come from the Lord. As you read the Bible, look for the good habits throughout it, and you'll realize that they really are a gift from God. 2 Timothy 1:7 says this, For God gave us a spirit not to fear, but of power and love and self-control. God has given us the fruit of the Spirit, self-control. Temptation isn't from God. We are tempted, though. That's our selfish nature, right? The enemy of our soul tempts us, but that doesn't come from God. While good habits are a gift from God, temptation leading to bad habits is not from him. James 1:13 says this, "Whenever you feel tempted to do something bad, don't say, 'God is tempting me.' Evil cannot tempt God, and God himself does not tempt anyone." That comes from the enemy himself, Satan. There is a way out, though. God has provided a way out. We all know what it's like to feel stuck in a habit. Anybody? Yeah. It's a new year, right? And so I've been like, okay, Lord, help me. What do I need to be working on? What do I need to focus on? What are some of the things maybe this last year that weren't good habits, right? Been asking the Lord for help. Anybody else kind of looking at the new year and looking at some things that they want to adjust, right? Because I don't want to live the same year, right? There are things I want to work on, things I want to change. And honestly, we can't just do it ourselves. You can't just change it. We need God's help in this, all right? God provides a way out. This doesn't mean that you won't have to work for it, but it does mean that he is faithful to help us break some of these habits, these bad habits. 1 Corinthians 10:13 says, "No temptation has overtaken you except what is common to mankind," right? And then, and God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, he will also provide a way out so that you can endure it. I love that. I love that. Not only is he God with us, but he's also God who equips us to be able to handle what's around. You know, there's no temptation that God cannot help you with and provided a way out. So what we're going to do, we're going to look a little bit at an example. The life of Jesus. Now, I know sometimes it's easy to be like, well, he was Jesus. He was perfect, right? But he sets a course for us in some habits that I think we can look at in this new year to try on, to try growing in a little bit, right? He is the ultimate example, right? We're not perfect. We're made in his image. But we can absolutely try to pattern our life after him. Amen? So we're going to look at some of the habits of Jesus. In a world where routines and habits shape so much of our lives, let's take a look at the one we call Savior and what he has done for us. By following his example, we can grow in faith, we can grow in love, and even effectiveness in God's kingdom. These habits not only shaped his life, but serve as a powerful practice for us to follow. So the first habit is this. And it's not going to be shocking to you, but Jesus, his habit of prayer. His habit of prayer. Jesus' prayer life was central to his mission on earth. So we should also have a habit of prayer, right? If you're a Christ follower in this room, Jesus is your Lord and Savior. We should pattern our life after him. Prayer should be a habit in our life. Jesus often withdrew from the crowds to spend time with his Father. He understood the power and necessity of connecting with God in a quiet place. Listen, distraction and noise and media and news and all that chaos, do you understand that that's the work of the enemy to try to get you completely not able to focus on what God's wanting to talk to you and say to you? All right. It can even be good things that pull us away, that distract us, right? You need a quiet place. You need a place where you can listen. You can hear what God is speaking when you're reading a scripture so that you can hear what God is saying. If you're inundated by all kinds of chaos, how are you ever going to hear? Jesus showed us that you got to get away. I mean, the guy was, people followed him everywhere. Can you imagine if people were, crowds were just showing up at your house all the time? You're like, it's Saturday morning, I'm trying to have some breakfast, you know, and they're outside waiting for you to do something for them. So Jesus realized, like, that's not working. I mean, I love the people, but I gotta connect with God. I gotta get away so that I can be renewed, right? Who do we think we are by not taking a day off? Who do we think we are by not honoring the Sabbath, by having a space? We work 6 days and have one off. I mean, that, like, Jesus set the pattern. And who do we think as little men, like little earthlings that we're, well, Jesus, you don't understand. I got to work 7 days, you know. No, there's a reason why there's a rhythm to it. There's a pattern to it. And if we follow it, our lives will be so much better. It's his plan. Mark 1:35 says this. Before daybreak the next morning, Jesus got up and went out to an isolated place to pray. Now, let me say this. It is not always easy to get time. Some of you have littles, you have little kids, you've got lots of stuff going on in your life. I understand that. But that's not an excuse to find a little bit of space, a little bit of time for you to have just, you and the Lord. It might be 5 minutes in a morning that you can get some space, some time, 10 minutes, all right? Begin this year by finding some space to create a habit of prayer in your life. In the hustle and bustle of life, we often forget to make room for prayer. Jesus, however, showed us that prayer is essential for spiritual strength and clarity and peace. I'll tell you, when my world gets rocked, when things are happening that are out of my control, when there's fear that comes in, uncertainty, I just have to get on my face because I don't have answers. And I have to go to the one who I know does, the one that I can trust, the one who has walked with me since I was 5 years old when I said yes to Jesus, the one who has never let me down, the one who has answered prayers, and the one who I've had to trust because answered prayers didn't happen. He's been faithful through it all. Jesus didn't pray just in times of trouble or only when things went well. He just made it a daily habit to commune with his Father. To walk in his power, we must develop the same habit. So here's a couple ways to apply that. Set aside a specific time each day to pray. Again, even if it's just a few moments. Pray both in silence and out loud. Some of you may struggle praying out loud. You're like, I don't know what to say. Well, talk to your friend. Just say, Dear Lord Jesus, help me today. Start having conversations. Don't just make prayer about asking, but also begin to listen. All right? So that's a big deal. We have to follow Jesus' habit in the habit of prayer. The second habit is this. And Jesus was so good at it. The habit of loving others. Jesus came to demonstrate God's love to the world. He lived out the command to love others in profound ways, loving those who loved him and those who rejected him. That's a big deal. He offered love to all. He said, come, right? He invited all to the table. John 13, 34 and 35 says this, so now I'm giving you a new commandment, love each other, just as I have loved you. You should love each other. Your love for one another will prove to the world that you are my disciples. Again, it's the love of Jesus that we give each other. Sometimes, because our love is imperfect and our love comes with a lot of baggage, but we can give the love of Jesus to other people, right? Because he gives it to us as a free gift. And so we can then give that same love to others. Jesus didn't just talk about love. He showed us how to live it. His love was visible in his actions, healing the sick, feeding the hungry, forgiving sinners, hanging out with people who needed him, right? I mean, that's why he ended up getting crucified. They hated him because of who he was. He is our example to live by, to love others the way Jesus did. And it didn't always make sense to other people, but Jesus knew what he was doing. For Jesus, love was not a feeling. It was an intentional habit and an action. Love is action. Love is doing. So how do we practice this? How do we do that? Well, practice kindness. That means being intentional. That means when you're heading to the grocery store and you're super busy and you don't have time, take a moment and say, okay, Lord, who do I need to smile at today? Who do I need to take a moment with? Practice kindness. Even to those who may not treat you well. Love your neighbors, your coworkers, your family, even your enemies. Ask the Lord, what does that look like? How do you do that? Right? Some of you might have to have some healthy boundaries because maybe some family's super toxic. That doesn't mean you still can't love them. It just might mean you have to do it a little bit from safer places, you know? But you can still love. You don't have to be a jerk and an idiot, right? But you can say, you know what? I love you, but I have to have some things in place. That's okay. Ask God to give you his love for people, especially when it's difficult. You know, it's really easy to love those who love you, right? That's not a problem. But it's really hard to love those who don't love you. Amen? So we want to follow Jesus' habit, not only in prayer, but in loving others. The third one is this, his habit of serving. Jesus modeled servant leadership. You know, he bowed down and he washed the disciples' feet. Right? He came as a baby in a manger, lowly. He came to die for who are we? I mean, we're the created. Like, we're the creation. He came, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords came for us. Like, he came to serve, which is the greatest way to show us the love that he has for us. He modeled that. It's an upside down thing in our world, right? In a world where people often seek to be served, Jesus came to serve others. So man, Lord, help us, right, with that habit of serving. How would that change our example at work and in our neighborhood and just in general in life if we took on that attitude of how can I serve? How can I show up and bless? How can I do a random act of kindness that can literally impact somebody today for Christ, right? If we all just started doing that, we'd start to see revival. We'd start to see lots more people wanting to know about Jesus because they'd be like, why are you doing this? Why are you showing up for me now? Why the love? Why the care, right? Because our world is so backwards. It's all about me, me, me. Right. Let's follow Jesus' example in the habit of serving. Mark 10:45 says this, for even the Son of Man came not, what, to be served, but to serve others and to give his life as a ransom for many. To give his life as a ransom for me and as a ransom for you. Jesus showed us that the greatness in the kingdom is about humility and service, not position, not wealth, and not power. So how do we practice that? Well, look for practical ways to serve those around you. Small things. Like when your husband picks up your dish because you're eating in the living room and takes it to the dishwasher, right? That's practical. That's super awesome, right? I know, you know, Chuck went to go take care of Bob Sandrick, who's been sick, take care of his driveway, you know, which I so appreciated. And what's really cool is Anna had come home not too long before Chuck had already left to go over to Bob's. And she was like, I was going to go over to Bob's and take care of that for him. And I was just like so proud in that moment that, you know, he had put that request on Facebook. I was in a meeting at the time, and so I didn't see it until afterwards. But already, you know, people were acting on, hey, Bob's been sick. We can come take care of, get your, you know, he was like snowed in. Serving, right? That matters when we just show up for people at their time of need, at the time of where it's just a hardship, right? We can all grow in that habit. Would you agree? Yeah. Not only the habit of prayer, not only the habit of loving others, but this habit of serving others. The fourth thing is this habit of spending time with God. Jesus just did that well, right? He regularly withdrew to spend time with his heavenly Father. And in that, there was this solitude, this time, this space, where this intimate communion with Jesus, with God, happened. In Luke 5:16, it references, but Jesus often withdrew to the wilderness for prayer. If you think about the wilderness, right, that's not a super comforting place, not a place where you're going to maybe sit down and, I mean, it's dry, it's got prickly things, maybe some wild animals. It's not like the most amazing place, but Jesus would go there to leave all the distractions, to spend some time with God in solitude and in listening and hearing what God was speaking to him. Jesus knew that to fulfill his mission, he needed the Father's presence. The presence of God. And the presence of God is fullness of joy. And the joy of the Lord then becomes your strength. We need to be able to have times of solitude and silence. I will be honest, I've been trying to practice this more, of just quiet. The opportunities where I would be in the car and be jamming to music. I love to sing and I love to look like an idiot when I'm driving and people are like, oh, hi, you know, because I sing loud and move around. But I've been trying to practice time and space where I'm just listening. God, what are you speaking to me? What do you need me to do today? Where have I missed you today? Right? We can't hear those things if we're not having some space of just solitude and time with him. So not only just prayer and praying to God, but spending time with God in that place of silence, of solitude. That's a practice. And I'll tell you, I remember the first few times of practicing, like setting an alarm, like for 5 minutes. And like, okay, I'm just going to set an alarm for 5 minutes and I'm going to be silent. It felt like hours, you know, and I'd look down, I'm like, okay, 4.5 minutes, you know, and you're like, you just would keep looking down and you're like, man, I've never felt those minutes going so slow, right? And I want to encourage you guys this week, okay? Try it. Take 5 minutes, put it on an alarm clock, close your eyes, be able to be silent and see if it feels like a long time. Maybe it's just me, but for me, it felt like a really long time. But Jesus often withdrew to get time with the Lord. How do we practice this? I know, I heard somebody ask and was like, how do we practice that, Pastor? Well, we got to set aside times for quiet, personal devotion to the Lord. Now, again, I know that's tough for some people. Seek solitude to hear God's voice. Spend time in worship. Sometimes that's all my soul can do is just, I can't even talk sometimes. I can just lay on my office floor and just cry and just, Jesus, I need you, right? And his presence comes and does what needs to happen in my heart and my life at that moment, right? The presence of God shows up. The strength of God shows up. So I'm thankful for that. The fifth one is this. We can learn from Jesus, the habit of discipleship. Jesus spent 3 years pouring into 12 disciples, living with them, training them, teaching them, preparing them to carry on the Great Commission, to carry on his work after he was gone. He didn't just create fans, but Jesus created followers, even to the death, even to the death. A very familiar passage, which is one of our core passages here at Rockside, is Matthew 28:19-20. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I have given you. See, our job is not just to go and make disciples. It's not just to get them saved and then get them baptized, right? That's not just it. It says, then, right, teach these new disciples to obey all the commands. So we have this role of discipleship and teaching and training. And listen, our process of discipleship, if you're breathing, which we all are in this room, right, we're in a process of discipleship. We're in a process of sanctification. The moment you accept Jesus as your Christ, as your Savior and Lord, you begin the process of becoming like him. And guess what? We don't finish that till we get to heaven. Yeah. And I'll tell you this. It's not going to be perfect all the way. Many of us, right, as we do this, we're going to go like this. As we're figuring out, the Bible says, work out your salvation with what? Fear and trembling. And we all are working it out. Everybody's working it out, and we're thankful for that. But we're in a process of discipleship, becoming like Christ. And I believe what Jesus focuses on most is not where we fail and where we make mistakes and where we fall off the road. I think he focuses on our heart. I think he looks at your heart and says, okay, their heart is for me. Because you remember, he's the Father. He's the great Father, right? Amen. So what father is going to look at their child who's trying to make good decisions and sometimes makes bad ones, right? You're going to still love them, right? That's the same God we serve. He loves us, and we're all in that process of becoming more like Christ. And there's a lot of grace for that. Thankfully, right? I'm thankful. I'm thankful for God's grace and his mercy because I need it every single day. So how do we practice? How do we practice the habit of discipleship? Well, here it is. Real easy. Find somebody to disciple. Find somebody who is newer in Christ or who maybe just has a lot of questions and begin walking with them. It's not about having all the answers. It's not even about you being super spiritual because guess what? For all of sin and fall short of the glory of God, and we all need God's grace, right? But just walking with somebody else. Invest in relationships that help you grow spiritually, all right? That's important as well. Teach others about Jesus. Share with others about what Jesus has done for you. We all have a story. We all have the ability to speak what God has done for us. Amen? So good. God's word speaks to the transformation that he wants to bring into our lives. And through that, the habits that we cultivate can either draw us closer or push us away. Creating good habits and stopping bad ones is not just about self-discipline, right? It's about aligning ourselves to God's purpose and the person that he's calling us to become. All right. So right now, I know some of you, you might struggle. You might have seriously bad habits. There might be things that you're like, oh my goodness, this is overwhelming. Well, guess what? With God's help, he can help you overcome that. If you are someone where you're like, I know I need to create some good habits, God will help you with that. Listen, we are almost done. I know we're a little bit over time today, but let me walk through this real quick. How to create good habits and how to get rid of bad ones. Super fast. So if you're writing notes, you're going to have to go back and listen to the audio. Okay, real quick. So how to create good habits. Start with prayer and depend on God's strength. It's as easy as that. Okay. Another thing, build consistency in the small things. So just start small with good habits. Like for me, I have to give up sugar. Ugh. It's a whole story. I'll talk about it later. But so it's small things. Like I just have to stop drinking pop. Okay? The Lord helps in those things when we know, right? So build consistency in small things. Take little steps. Third thing to create a good habit, renew your mind and your identity. The Bible talks about transforming our minds, getting our identity in Christ. If it's in anything else, you're going to struggle with bad habits. So keep your identity in Christ. Romans 12:2 says this, don't copy the behavior and customs of the world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. There's power to how you think. And let me tell you, we need that transformed by the power of the Lord. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. All right, so renew your mind and identity. Last one for a good habit, commit your work to God. All right, we should trust God with our plans and seek his guidance for the daily habits. All right, he cares about our growth and our discipline. All right, so how do you stop a bad habit? Real quick, repent. Got to start there, right? So if you've got some life-altering bad habits, or even if they're just small things like pop, sugar, right? Repent and turn away from sin, all right? To stop a bad habit, we need to actively turn away from it. 1 John 1:9 says, but if we confess our sins to him, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us, amen, from all wickedness. So repent and turn away. Then guard your heart and mind. All right, flee temptation. If you're struggling with certain things, don't be around those things. I mean, it really is an equation. You know, A plus B equals C. I'll give an example. If you are an alcoholic or if you've struggled with alcohol, probably not the best idea to go to the bars or to be hanging around with people who drink, right? The reality is if you have a struggle, you want to flee temptation. Just makes it easier for you to be able to be successful if you're not in that environment, all right? So flee temptation and set boundaries. The last thing is replace bad habits with godly ones, all right? And that's where the Lord comes in. And that's really why we're talking about this, these daily reminders, practices for spiritual growth, because starting the new year, some of us really do need to identify what we need to change, what we need to work on. Otherwise, we're going to have the same year. And I don't know about you, I don't want to have the same year, right? I need God's help. I need his help to change. We need community. We need each other. Amen? Amen. Galatians 6:2, and I'll close with this. So whoever's coming up, we're going to pray and we'll be done. Thanks for letting me go over a few minutes today. Galatians 6:2 says this, share each other's burdens and in this way obey the law of Christ. We need each other. We need God to help us. It's about relying on his grace and his strength and the transforming process of every day making those choices.